And let's just bow our heads. I just want to have a word of prayer for him. Father, my heart goes out for this brother. I've been there, Father. I've been laid off and let go and different things so many times. I can already number them on my fingers and toes, Father. But so I know where the man stands, and I've taken that same stand. I know you'll bless him in it, Father. I just pray somehow you'll meet his needs, Lord, and I just pray that you'd give him that which he has need of. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last night we examined a statement of Brother Branham. I guess you can see that. Thank you. Last night we examined a statement of Brother Branham's message, Who is this Melchizedek? And so far we focused our thoughts on his opening prayer. We haven't gotten past the opening prayer because there's so much in it. But last night we examined something that he said in the close of that prayer, which I thought had much merit and should be gone over with a fine-tooth comb, so to speak. He said, "Now bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's been given to us. May we nurture them in our heart. May we cherish them with reverence and obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen." And so last night we took these thoughts and we showed how he said these promises that's been given us, and we showed that in order for them to have been given to us, they had to be revealed, because Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the things which are still a mystery belong to God. Let's just turn to it and we'll read. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." So if it's secret, it's still his. Then what about the tenth vision? If it's still a mystery, or still if it's still in a mystery form, in other words, we don't really know what it's about, then it still belongs to God. It's not ours. But notice, "But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Notice, "and those things which are revealed." Now, how did Brother Branham say God interprets his word? By doing what? Bringing it to pass. So when that word has come to pass, it's revealed. And if it's been revealed to us, it belongs to us. So the very fact, brother, sister, that God has descended with a what? With a shout. The very fact God descended with a shout, and it's been revealed to you, it's yours. Now that shout is the first part of the rapture, which tells you then if you've got a hold of part of the rapture, you're not going to have a hold of part of the rapture and not have a hold of all of it. So the fact is, brother, sister, I can clearly, without any conflict in my heart, say we are participating in the rapture. Now the next thing is the resurrection, which I believe with my heart, if we are caught up into the shout, it's just a matter of waiting for that revelation of the resurrection. In other words, it's still secret, it still belongs to God. But one of these days, brother, sister, God will interpret it, because you'll see it come to pass. And when it comes to pass, it's yours. You're part of it. Then the catching away. Of course, there'll be a change of the body at that time. And that's what we're going to speak on today. But before we do, I just want to recap last night a little bit. So we see that then the revealed promises that are given, they belong unto us. Now, if they belong to you, they no longer belong to God. God has passed them from himself to you. And you are stewards of them. And that's why he says, may we nurture them in our heart. It's yours. It's yours. May we nurture them in our heart. And the word nurture, as we found, means to nourish. And it has to do with a tenderness or a caring. It is not self-directed, but it is other-directed. It is other-directed. Philippians says, "Let this mind which was in Christ be in you, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he took upon himself," what? "A lower position, that of a servant." Nurturing is a selfless act. You mothers all know what I'm talking about. You put your children before you put yourself. It's giving. It's creating. It's performing for others. Those are the divine attributes of God, which are in God, to be a father. Those are the attributes He placed in you as a born-again son or daughter of God, to nurture that life that is growing up within you, the promise of a change of the body. He said that we might cherish them with reverence. Now the word cherish means to hold dear. And also the word cherish shows that your focus is not upon yourself, but it's upon that thing which you cherish. You hold it dear. You give it a very high assessment, a high value. And that we might cherish it with respect. The word reverence means respect. Again, the focus is on other. Then he says, that we might obey them with godly discipline. And the word obey also, again, the focus is on other. But now the focus is turned inward and says, how can I obey? By bringing myself under self-control. By having self-control. That's all that God asks. He has a passive, 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 then finally an active. See? As we examine these 5 points, I want you to notice that these 5 things mentioned here all speak of relationship and the expected behavior that a husband has for wife, a wife has for husband. A parent has for child, the child has for parent. And Brother Brown said that we should do these things for this great revealed promise. He said we should nurture, cherish, reverence, and obey with godly discipline. Therefore, let's examine, as we did last time, we examine each of these words to see how that they speak of relationship of a wife to the groom, husband to the wife, and of parents to child. And the child a parent. I want to add one little thing to that. I believe the promise of God that comes as a result of the great revelation of Jesus Christ is that we receive in this hour, we have a promise that we shall not die. We have a promise of a new body. And I believe Brother Branham is looking at this not only from the aspect, and we could take it in many directions. I've got 2 different sermons prepared for this morning. We can go in 2 different directions. I can take a sermon and bring out the points of a husband and wife relationship, or we can go with the change of the body. I'm feeling led more and more to go with the change of the body, but I want you to understand that this nurturing, cherishing, with reverence, obeying them with godly discipline, this has to do more so with the change of the body. You have growing up within you another body. It begins by the renewing of the mind. Paul said in Romans 12:1, he said, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brother Vassar, when you're born again, he said, just like when you're born the first time, when you conceive the first time, he said, the male sperm comes together with the egg. He said, the egg is the body. It's a building. And the sperm gives it life. And then it begins to add cell upon cell upon cell upon cell upon cell. Now, where is it adding it from? I want you to think about this. What actually happens? Is it actually adding a new cell or is it splitting? And now you have 2. Isn't that what exactly happens? So the word is what? Dividing. Now, let's go to... So what you have is a multiplication of cells. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. No, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 first. Because Peter here speaks of verse 22, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord shall endure forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, let me just show you here.
Notice Peter talks of being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we're talking about birth. Then he compares the birth, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible. Now he talks about the grass withereth and dies. Withers and dies. The body, this corruptible that we have, must put on incorruption. This corruptible withers, it dies, but we have an incorruptible. Now, as is the earthy, so is the heavenly, Paul said. So, as is earthly, what do we have? When we have a adding cell upon cell, you actually have the DNA, you actually have the chromosome, and it splits. And now you have two. Then those two split. And now you have four. And so what you've got is a doubling unto her. Right? Now, notice then, if we have an incorruptible, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? The Word. So, then this birth is by the Word. Right? Now, if this Word is, then it's not actually a adding word upon word, because if you add to it, what happens? You get the plagues. If you take from it, what happens? Your life is taken from the book of life. But it's actually a multiplying. Whereas out of this word comes forth word, comes forth word, comes forth word, echoing. It's an echo. It's a multiplication. If we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as he has as his divine power. What's the divine power? It's the Word. Romans 1:16. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godlikeness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, notice he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So we're talking about multiplication. We're talking about then word coming out of word. Like the chromosome splitting. Brother Brown said the natural types of spiritual. If you haven't come to the first base, what did Brother Brown say first base was? Come on. The greatest of all the revelations is what? The supreme deity of Jesus Christ, and you can't get to first base without it. Therefore, brother and sister, I believe what we're seeing is by the grace of God that understanding him begins a process within you and I. We'll go to First John, chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, who's he talking about? God. The Father. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's go to first. Let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things, for now we see through glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. So what we have is, according to 1 John 3, it says, when we see him, we'll become like him. He says here that when we see him face to face, we'll know, even as we are known. So we're talking then about a change of the body, about an inner man change. As we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. Now, why is it so important to have a body change? Steve, why would you think it's important to have a body change? Okay, so you can't even get there in this condition. All right. Dwayne, what else? Okay, so it's a corruptible body. It's a body of his death. Joe, add to that. Think about last night. No, but we have a good enough understanding to know that we don't want this body. What about last night? What did we talk about? Justification. You see, in this flesh, it must die. It was born in sin to begin with. You won't take it to the other side. Now, the thing of it is, the Bible gives us a great promise to every man living. And that promise is this, that every deed you did in this body, you're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, what if this body isn't over there, standing before the judgment seat, when the white throne is enacted out? It won't have to give an account. You see, Brother Vassar, we're standing before the white throne now. The judge is here. And in this body, you are giving an account. As we mentioned, the difference between justification and pardon is that if you receive a pardon, you receive forgiveness, no doubt. The governor pardons you, the president pardons you. You've received a forgiveness. But the whole world knows you did it. A woman get herself pregnant out of wedlock. She may be forgiven, but she will reap the rest of her life that error, that mistake. And the rest of her life, she will reap because of that error. But justification is what? Dwayne. You didn't do it in the first place. You didn't do it in the first place. Oh, this body did. But you're not given credit for it. You see, Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who giveth me the victory. So, brother, sister,
the greatest promise we have is to get that other body. Because you have that other body is not one that has sinned. You see, your soul didn't sin.
We are a threefold being. Body. Soul. Spirit. Now, the thing about the spirit
is that when you're born into this earth, you're given a spirit which is allowed by God. That spirit is the
nature of this flesh. And it tends to the flesh,
controlled by the flesh, basically. But when you're given a new spirit, what happens?
God quickens that soul, and it begins to bring forth another atmosphere.
It changes your mind. It changes your thoughts, your reasoning and your choice and those five inner senses. It brings them into control to the Word. You see, when you were born as a little baby, that spirit that you have in you, which was allowed by God, notice, allowed by God, it's not the spirit God intended for that child. The one God intended for that child is His own spirit. And therefore He uses the instrument of the Word to quicken. And Paul said, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin." And so when that begins to quicken, Brother Brown said, when a person is born again, he said, just like a little germ, page 66 of Demonology, Brother Branson, when that germ comes, when that devil enters, he says it's a little life, just like when the little egg and sperm come together. That little sperm is a little life. It's almost invisible. He said, but then when it adds cell upon cell upon cell, that's what a demon does. That's what a cancer does. The word cancer comes from a Latin word, which means crab. And crab was always associated with death and dying. And so the cancer then adds cell upon cell upon cell upon cell, taking hold of the body. But when you're born again, there's a germ life from God that enters in. And it begins to form a body, Brother Brown said. That glorified body we're going to begins to form word on word on word. Word cell on word cell on word cell on word cell. So the process begins with a new birth. And when you're born again, there's a body that's waiting. And it's being formed up. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we read, if we would turn to it, because we're going to read almost the entire scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, in other words, it dies, pass away, whatever, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body. If we all...
It's the shout. Come.
Stephen, in your flesh, you've done some things, I'm sure, in your life that you're not, you know the Lord wouldn't be real happy with. Or we all have. But what if you were to have a change of the body? A body that's glorified. Not this body. Your soul has been purged, purified by the blood of the Lamb. That one standing there, how in the world could he ever be judged for what was done in his body? Can't be. It's a different person. You see where your soul, Brother Van said, Paul said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin. The flesh is not you. It's a carcass. That carcass will have to die. It'll be taken up. We will receive a body change. Some of us will be standing, living, and receive a body change that will totally do away with the body that you see here. Incinerated, so to speak, and brought back to a different condition. It's like putting it in a great incinerator where they. How many of you have ever seen plastic recycled? What do they do first? Go through the grinding mill, they cut it up into little chunks, pieces. Then it goes into a hopper, goes on into the plastic machine, where it's all melted. And then what happens? It's reformed into another vessel. That's exactly what God is going to take you apart, cell by cell by cell. Restructure it and put it back together in the way it was meant to be originally. Not twisted, not deformed. Let me say that again. Cannot be judged. The difference between justification is you never did it, whereas to be pardoned, you bear with you the rest of your life the fact that you know that you're guilty. In 1 John 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. What is sin? It's unbelief. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That means does not initiate sin. For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot disbelieve, because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. From the rapture, Brother Brown said, my little story about the eagle, finding his mother, finding the eagle. You've heard me preach on that, how that the little eagle was hatched under a hen. Her habits of trying to feed them chickens, the little eagle couldn't stomach it. He couldn't, because he wasn't a chicken to begin with. Yet, he was in the pen with the chickens and he followed the chickens. But she scratched in the barnyard and things and the little eagle couldn't stand it. But every time that she would cluck and everything, all the little chickens would go and so he'd go too. But one day his mother knew that she had laid two eggs, not one. There had to be another one somewhere. She went to hunt it, flying around, circling. Finally she come upon over the barnyard and she found her baby. And she screamed to him. And there was a voice that he had realized that that's the thing that fit. That was what he's looking for, see? And he realized then that he wasn't a chicken. He was an eagle. And that's the way with every born-again Christian. When you come, I don't care how many denominations you join, how many names you put your name on the book and things, when that real word of God is vindicated and made true before you, like that, you realize that you're an eagle right there. Because all this clucking of the hand, you join this and join this and go this way and that way, it's nonsense. It's a genuine adding word to word. When a germ comes into the womb of a female, you didn't become a human germ from your father, and then the next thing you become a germ from a dog, and the next thing from a cat, and the next thing from a chicken. It was all human germ. And the body of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be part of his body, which it will be. But he was the Word, and the bride will have to be the Word. Word added to Word added to Word. Luther's justification, Wesley's sanctification, Pentecost baptism with the Holy Spirit, restoration of the gifts, and all the rest of it goes with it. It's got to be word on top of word, germ on top of germ, life on top of life, to bring out the full statue of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you remember, you was an attribute. So see, if you weren't an attribute to begin with, you'll never end up that way. Now from Romans chapter 1, and if you turn with me, we're going to read the entire chapter. Notice what Paul says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. For you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken also your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall surely die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, here's the key, whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Here's the key. Just like marriage and divorce. Key is, it wasn't so from the beginning. Here's the key. In the beginning,
If he had an attribute to be a father, then there had to be attributes in him for sons and daughters. And if you were in him in the beginning, all that he did foreknow, he did what? Predestinated. And all he predestinated, he did what? Justified. And all he justified, he has, past tense, glorified.
Judge not according to appearance, Jesus said, but judge righteous judgment. When God looks through the bleached blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, he does not take into account this flesh. This flesh will be changed. And in that flesh, you cannot be condemned. Because why? You're part of him. Why do you think people like Brother Vail want to get out of here? Want to get that body changed? He said, I've had my reservation in for 20 years. That was 10 years ago he said that. 30 years. How long have you had your reservation? Notice. What should we then say? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor present sin, nor sins to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the promise
of the shall? Change the inner man, right?
What follows the shall? The voice, what's that? The change of the body. The resurrection, right? And then what? The trumpet. The catching away. The things which have been revealed to you have been given to you. They belong to you. How many have received the shout? Then the inner man is being renewed daily. The inner man is being renewed daily. What does that mean? That means there's a body being prepared. You are justified. You never did do it. That's why you can stand before him holy, unblameable. Because in love he predestinated you according to his good purpose. From God's power of transformation, Brother Vail said, Enoch was translated from death by God's transforming power. What did God do for that? For a type of the rapturing church that's coming. Elijah was the same. Jesus' body was quickened after it was dead. And in the grave, Jesus' body was quickened by the Word of God and transformed from a dead, cold image to a resurrected, glorified Son of God. Because the prophet, Psalm 16:10 said, if you want to put it down, 16:10 said, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. O God, that word has to come to pass. It's God's word. Plant it in your heart. If you want to go in the rapture, if you want to be a Christians, genuine, place this word, as I believe it was Ezekiel, God said, take the scroll and eat it up, that the prophet and the word would become the same. And every promise in there has to manifest itself, because it's God's original seed. Don't you let some educated theologian out there try to pump it out of you. Don't you let him spray you with that carnal science and knowledge and education. Believe God. Now finally, in closing, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Reading from verse 1. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, or verse 12. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only that we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruit of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when we shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. In other words, God is not put under Jesus' feet. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, God, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead raise not at all? Why are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it if we raise not up, if the dead raise not? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Awake to right wiseness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall die, or that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. Boy, that's an understatement. It is raised a spiritual body. Excuse me, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, he's earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What can we say? It's a done deal. Are we partakers of the shout? Are we caught up into the rapture? Is the inner man being renewed? Then, brother, sister, there's an outer man. Not this one here. But there's another tabernacle that is being add upon by word upon word upon word. That's why it's so important to get into the Word, to listen to the tapes, to talk the Word, because it's adding fiber to fiber to fiber until that glorified body is waiting. And in that glorified body, you cannot be judged for your sin. Your judgment comes in this. Remember, Jesus said, He that believeth me has passed from death into life, and will not come into the condemnation. Will not come into the judgment. You've passed from judgment. So as long as you're in this body, the law of sowing and reaping will result. You will have to reap what you've sown, but you will not be judged for what you have sown. And when you pass into that other body, there'll be no remembrance of it. God completely will not look at you as a sinner, but He'll look at you as a son. Brother Vance said, I no longer call you church. I call you bride. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we see the response of the husband to the bride. In Ephesians, you said that He counts the wife, husbands love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And realizing, Father, that we are the bride of Jesus Christ, that He personally has given Himself for us. We are bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Father, we want to thank You, and we ask, Lord, that You would quickly bring on the body change. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Help us, Father, to get ready for that time. Amen. Amen. If we have the musicians come forward, we'll... Psalm 27, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's also in the Behold Songbook. Number 150.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. afraid. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Amen. Let's sing one more time. Let's all stand and just worship the Lord as we sing.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Amen. 175, as we're departing, He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Look at the substitution. We give Him a corruptible body, He gives us an incorruptible.
He gave me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified.
God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.
He gave me beauty for ashes.